Andy, it sounds like someone needs some assistance in the other room.
The particulates are getting to him.
It's the Canadian air
quality. Boy, I'll tell you, Friday the afternoon, that was me coughing like that. It was terrible.
Not that I didn't hang on your every word. But
no, I know.
You know, it goes by so fast. You speak so quickly. Because I try to take notes during every newscast.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But you said that I could...
I see you asleep with your mouth open in the other room.
Drooling? Have you actually seen me drooling?
No.
But you said I could go on the computer and type in something to see what the air particulates are like where I am?
Yes. It's our website, WGNradio.com. And then when you go to that link, you can type in your zip code and find out the AQI.
How do you spell WGN?
PL6 radio.
It's just like that WIRPB station in Mount Pilot.
We have a new thing now. You got to press and hold.
Yes.
To confirm that I'm a human.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah, we have that in here too.
Just had it myself.
What is it?
I had to do it. Yeah, I had to do it a few seconds ago.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Now what do I do? Okay, I'm on it.
What you're looking at is called a screen.
Yes.
S-C-R-E-E-N.
So where do I go now to find this thing that you just
go to
about?
The website.
I'm on the website.
Look for the air quality index.
Air quality
index.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't find it.
Jack, go help him out.
Can't find it. Yep.
Go help him out.
We have a short show today, too, so I can...
Yeah, hurry up.
I could spend the whole... what are we on today?
The next 2 hours and 20
minutes.
2.5 hours,
yeah. I could spend the whole time trying to find this thing that you allegedly were just talking about. You know, does anyone really check when you say go to the website to find this and that? Am I the first person to actually check you on this?
I have no idea, because no one else has told me that they've checked it.
I'm looking. Where do I find this thing?
All right, I'll look
it's
for
in
it.
The weather section.
In the weather section,
on the right hand side of the home page, down a little bit on the right side.
Down a little bit.
Now, what you do to get
now,
there is called scrolling.
Do we really expect people to do all this to try to find this?
Oh, it's important stuff.
Well, if you have problems
with the three day forecast,
now click on more weather.
More weather.
And then scroll down.
Scroll down.
And there's a link for the air quality map.
Check here for air quality map.
So you click on that.
Thank goodness for Andy.
And then there's a little magnifying glass.
I never get
up toward the top right of the screen there.
Thank goodness for Andy.
You click that, and it'll bring up a link that says find address or place. And then you can put in the zip code, which I think here is 60601, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. This is way too much trouble. I think I'd rather just sit here and cough.
Okay. It's actually not too bad right now.
It is correct, though. We've been reporting moderate, and it is moderate here in the yellow zone.
We're in the yellow zone.
Are you okay now?
I can't find it.
Oh, wow.
It's okay.
It's all right.
I found it.
It's all right. If I choke, that's fine. Somebody take over. Theater at 10:30, A-list interview after that.
Well, that's why Jack is here today.
It's pretty much the same formula that we always
have. Andy, well, you and I will do the show.
That's cool.
I've been pushing for you two to do
it. I know you have. I know you have.
Yeah, we did it once in a pinch a few years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm pushing for you.
It ended up being fun.
I'm pushing for you to do it permanently without me. I don't.
But we'll still have to call it Dean Richards Sunday morning.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I own the rights to the show.
You own the rights to the show.
But turns
sure
out,
you do.
I don't need to be here at all, as it turns out. 9:14. Here we are all back together again. Without the sound of screeching tires, but turns out the song does have that sound of. Shawnee?
Yes?
$10,000 if you can tell me who this is singing right now.
No.
I'll do it for $5,000.
Not the Darlins. Not the Archies.
And I know it's not the Buckinghams.
All your favorites. Not the New Colony 6.
Not the New Colony 6 or the Association.
This is the man who probably has been keeping you awake for the last two nights.
Oh, the weekend.
Over at the Soldier Field.
It's Soldier's Field.
At the Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Soldier's Field.
Soldier's Field. Yes.
Almost sold out nights at Soldier mm-hmm. Field. That's not bad.
No.
For the singer known as The Weeknd. I like to point out.
Performing on the weekend, too, I might add.
Ironically, right? Worked out that way. I like him. You like him?
I like the song. There's nothing wrong with that song.
I like his music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember his performance at the Super Bowl.
Right.
Everybody talking.
Does anybody know how you get a name like The Weeknd, though?
No, I don't. Do you?
That's why I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, you asked it like you knew.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Do any of you smart Alex know?
I don't. I do not know how he get, and that's why I want to know how he got the name, The Weeknd.
This is what I heard when you said that. Hey, smart Alex. Do you know?
Because I know.
Do you know? Because I know.
And
why
then how
he is called The Weeknd.
And then there's that 31 Flavors guy. Where did he get,
what are you talking about?
31 Flavors.
31
Flavors. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Flavo Flav.
31 Flavors.
I thought it was 31 Flavors.
I'll take mint chocolate chip. In a cup.
Even that reference is 30 years old, by the way. You are nothing if you are not consistent.
Very current in his references.
Au courant.
Would you like to know The Weeknd's real name?
Yes.
Would you like to know? his real name is Abel Tesfaye.
Where's he from?
Abel Tesfaye. Abeltesfaye.
Where's he from?
Abel Tesfaye Land.
Yeah, he's from Abel Tesfaye Land.
I don't know where he's from. I didn't spend any time with him when he was here.
No.
To find
and him. You're the entertainment reporter.
I am the so-called entertainment reporter.
And you didn't spend any time with him. Everybody's talking about him. You walk up and down the streets in my neighborhood.
Town. I was out of town.
They're talking about The Weeknd.
He's from Canada.
He's
from Canada. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey there.
Actually, that has a French-sounding name, so he would be from Quebec, maybe?
Abel Macanon Tesfaye.
Yeah,
is his name.
Yeah, French-Canadian.
Yeah, you think so?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he.
Anyway, I like his music.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that song played.
No, I like a lot of his songs. And, you get to do the Super Bowl. They don't just let anyone in there to do the Super Bowl halftime show.
This is very true.
We're going to do it next year.
And he's done.
With the three of us.
Lots of accolades. And two nights at Soldier Field, that ain't too shabby.
No. No, it isn't.
Yeah. I would have liked to go on. The other big concert that was Friday night, and this one I think you'll really like, was over at the United Center. With, hang on. I want to make sure I get all the players right.
Sounds like he's getting pretty good on that computer in there.
This is professional radio.
Yeah, it sure is.
Friday night at the United Center, Chaka Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle,
yes,
and Stephanie Mills.
Nice,
wow,
nice lineup.
That
was were the Pips with Gladys Knight?
I don't know.
I was singing along in the car the other day with Midnight Train to Georgia.
That's a good one.
And I was playing the part of the Pips.
Yeah, were you driving, dancing
a little bit?
I like to do the unison dancing while I'm driving. I know it's not very safe.
But. And I just kept going, no,
On a midnight train,
Midnight train to Georgia.
Leave it on.
Oh, it's so nostalgic this morning. I look into the control room and I see our former producer here on Sunday morning, Jack Heinrich. And
it was welcome.
Just like the old days, his eyes have rolled into the back of his head because he doesn't understand anything that we talk about in the first half hour of the show. Welcome back.
What?
Look who came crawling back on his knees to the old Sunday show.
Couldn't last a month.
Had to be here.
He's now, what's your official title with Mr. Landecker in the evening? Are you the executive producer of that?
Yeah, sure.
Good show.
Oh, he's got a whole executive producer in a fancy font on his signature.
Do you have an office now?
I do.
He has an office. I visited him there.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a nice perk.
It's Mr. Jack.
I had to make an appointment, but, you know, he saw me.
Yeah. So I, I was talking to him before the show to see, because, you know, he was our producer here on this show for a long time. It's great to see him again. And I said, so how are things going with Landecker? And he goes, I don't understand anything that he's talking about either.
I'm learning fast.
I think he just said that to make me feel better.
That's funny.
But you're enjoying yourself with records?
Yeah, it's fun.
I was on with him last week. We did a history segment, Memorial Day evening.
Oh. Got the Schwanee on.
Hmm. How was he? How would you... Was Schwanee okay?
Great.
He's great as always.
Was he just okay? Phoning it in?
Oh, he's good.
Difficult to work with. A few things that come to mind right away.
No, me and Schwanee were holding it down here Memorial Day morning.
You were on together.
Yeah. We were on with Dave.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I see.
I was watching him run the newsroom.
It's an impressive feat, isn't it?
It is. Andy gets a treat every week.
Yeah. He sure does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Well, good. Are you enjoying being able to sleep in on Sunday morning now?
Yeah, it's nice. And I come downstairs, my parents got you guys on, so I'm like, can't escape it.
Can't get away. Isn't that nice? Well, good. Well, it's wonderful. You're only back with us this 1 week.
Yeah, we'll see what the summer entails.
Yeah, Jack's been gone from this show for like a month. Is that
like 6 weeks, maybe? Yeah. Something like that?
We've already gone through three producers, three other producers.
He's tough to replace, you know?
Yeah.
I made it 3 years.
Jack made it 3 years.
I'm waiting to get blamed for this now.
We've had three other producers that have come and gone. Usually it takes me, you know, like, 6 weeks to break them.
Yeah. Sometimes in the middle of the show.
Yeah, usually by 6 weeks, they either quit or they cry.
or both.
Something. Right, I see them.
I've been there.
We do a show, and I walk in. They're curled up in the fetal position in the corner.
They're sobbing.
Sobbing. Andy has to help them.
Right. But Jack managed to do it for 3 years.
I saw someone run by the newsroom window.
Yeah, I think that was temporary producer two that we had right a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we've broken three of them, and they haven't even started. None of them. They just come in to observe. Oh, yeah, Mr. Richards, I'm just coming in to observe.
I don't know if I want to go all in.
Leaving myself out.
I'm just coming in to learn and observe how you do your show. And then, like, 90 minutes later, they're running down the hall like their hair is on fire.
You gotta go.
Like
9 minutes later.
And I blame Schwanee for this.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Go get my laundry.
Really? I know.
I said no red M&Ms.
It's not that hard to figure out.
Right? Right?
This water is 37 degrees. I demand 34.
These young kids, they can't take it. Go through Dean Richards boot camp, and then you can go work
they're
on
ready
a Landecker
show. They're ready for the world.
That's right. Right. You don't just get a Landecker show just by, you know, falling off a truck. You got to go through the Dean Richards Sunday morning boot camp for a little while.
Can I get a certificate?
Yeah. This is to certify.
Jackhammer.
Has made it through.
Jackhammer. Does Landecker call you that?
No, we haven't made our way to that yet.
You don't have a nickname yet?
No.
It's an excellent nickname.
It is.
Shame it gets lost.
I'm surprised you're not taking credit for it.
I am.
Oh.
Yeah. I started it.
I know you did.
Yeah. It is good.
You are, Shawnee, you are.
What?
I'm surprised you're not taking credit for it.
Anyway. Shawnee's all fired up today.
He is. He missed me last week. Were you guys here last week?
Not that I was here.
I was out of town, so I wasn't.
Well, I was here, and Andy, you know, was here
contributing. Yes,
contributing, yeah. And so we were done really with the newscasts at 9:30 because Dane Neal did the pre-race coverage,
right?
And he was done at 10, and then we picked up the network
for the actual race
for the greatest spectacle in racing.
Yeah, right, greatest spectacle for the years.
And correct, yeah,
in our case,
and I believe at least at one time that for the one day of the Indy 500 race, the Indy 500 radio network became the largest network in the world because it was carried internationally.
Yeah.
This goes back some years now. I don't know if that's the case now, but I'll bet it's, if it's not up there still, it's close.
Well, let me tell you something. I've only been to the Indy 500 one time, and it is one of the most thrilling things I've ever seen in my life. It's so exciting.
It's a spectacle, all right.
It is truly a spectacle to take in the feeling, the sound, the circuses that are going on outside of the race.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Outside, well, it is. Am I wrong?
You're not.
There's so much going on the infield. Is that what they call it?
Yes, the infield.
And then outside of the racetrack itself, all over Indianapolis, it's quite the event. It is quite the event.
Yeah. I've been there twice, and both times in the infield, and there's a walkway that goes under the track.
Yeah.
And if you are in that walkway and those cars are overhead, it's deafening.
Yeah, you feel.
Oh,
you definitely feel it.
It's deafening. Feel
it. Yeah. Yeah. One of these days we'll take the show down.
We can do the show from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And if not, we can just go on Lakeshore Drive because they drive just about as fast there as well.
Boy, it has been a race on Lakeshore Drive.
Don't get me started on the roadways.
Wow.
I could do the next 2 hours on construction and roadways, and it's going to be a rough year. Let me just—it's going to be a tough, tough summer. Is all I can say. We still have
winter and road construction. The two seasons in Chicago.
Jack's been gone 6 weeks. We still do the far-flung forecast, despite popular demand. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes here. You know what I miss most about being in New York? Last Sunday morning, I was in New York doing some interviews there. I interviewed Benicio del Toro, the actor. But despite all the tinsel and glitter and A-list stars, you know what I missed most about not being here last week?
Gee, what?
The far-flung forecast.
Well, you could have listened online.
Nah, that's too much.
It would have been around 10:30 your time in New York.
I think you learned my technical prowess.
Yeah, we did just now.
At the beginning of the show today. Plus my laziness. The two combined. And I missed it. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
Here it is.
Should have been a longer introduction, but the music ended.
And you're just going to say, here it is.
The music ended. A one, a two, here it goes. It's Dave Schwann, the far-flung forecast.
Thank you very much, and it's great to have you back.
We've been doing it for 20 years, for God's sake.
No, about 12. Well, maybe no. Let's see here.
Feels like 20.
This feels like it, though. Yes, it does. And thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Today, actually, we didn't really do a far-flung forecast yesterday, but or last week, I should say.
Oh.
But Get out your compasses and protractors.
Not good enough for Dane Neal, I guess.
So. Well, we talked about Indianapolis and Speedway and the temperature there, because they were watching for some rain, and sure enough, it did start raining when the race began, so they had to postpone it for a little while.
Not good enough for a pre-race show.
But we have it this week, and this week we actually go to Passaic, New Jersey.
Ooh, I like that.
Do you know where Passaic? Do you know where Passaic?
I do not.
I'm
wondering if you do.
Well, Andy, do you know where?
I do not know.
Passaic is not all that far from New York City. It's just across the river there. Population of about 70,000.
I'm guessing if you try to get there by plane, it'll take you about 12 hours with the way everything's
yes,
going.
Yes, with the way in Newark, at the airport the Newark Airport, yes, it will. But actually was settled by the Dutch when they were moving through that part of what is now the U.S., of course, back in the 1600s. Lot of famous people from Passaic, New Jersey. Among them, Donald Fagen, who was the co-founder with Walter Becker of Steely Dan. Yeah. Sherwood Schwartz, who was also the person who created Gilligan's Island. Yeah. And another showbiz person who we happened to lose just a few days ago, Loretta Swit from Passaic, New Jersey. She was born and raised there, the daughter of immigrant parents. Think, Dave. Just think.
And you're out of practice.
Sad to see hear of her passing at 87. Yes, she and Alan Alda were the two longest running characters on MASH.
The final episode of MASH is still the highest rated.
Yeah,
single episodic television show of all time. Still,
yeah,
after all these years, not counting Super Bowls and like special events and things like that, but that final episode of MASH the record has still not been broken for viewership.
I'll never forget watching it.
Yeah,
and I imagine you did too.
I did.
Those of us of a certain age remember when it was aired the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a marvelous, marvelous show, and she really grew into that role. I mean, it developed it as did they all. Because of the brilliance of the show,
yeah.
But she was definitely will always be remembered.
She did lots of theater in her post-MASH life, frequently here in Chicago, frequently a guest on the show through the years.
Yes, yep, and she talked with Dave Plyer also.
Nice.
But Loretta Swit's hometown of Passaic, New Jersey, has mostly sunny skies, 56 right now. They're going up to a high of 67 today.
Back in the swing of things here on Sunday morning with all of our regular features, including the week in health. What is the latest that you need to know? Dr. Jeremy Silver joins us, as always, medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, my friend, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Always nice to chat with you. I'm a little confused this week, and I'm a little confused every week, but this week, especially regarding COVID vaccines or no COVID vaccines, at first, I heard that the CDC had dropped its recommendation that healthy kids should get COVID vaccinations. And then later on in the week, I heard that that had been rescinded, and the CDC is now saying that kids should get COVID vaccines. Can you clear this up for us, please?
Dean, I don't know if I can, because the administration has been kind of sending mixed messages on this, and I truly don't want to speak for the U.S. government. I'm with you. My initial understanding a couple of days ago was that they're only approving in terms of insurance covering these vaccinations for people that are either chronically ill or over the age of 65.
Right.
So what I can say what the science would support But in terms of what the final recommendation is going to be, I have to say I'm still a little bit in the fog as you are.
Yeah, it begins to get political, and you know who is saying what and who's contradicting, and one day it's on and one day it's not. And I don't want to get into all of that. Really, I am more interested in the science. If somebody has a child, what does the science suggest that one should do regarding COVID vaccines?
Sure, sure. Well, within the larger context of, you know, everybody can do what they feel is best for their kid, truly, the science would support vaccination at 6 months or older. There's no evidence to do it beforehand, and no one would do that. But there's a reduced risk of severe COVID. There's a lower incidence of post-COVID conditions, like we're thinking of long COVID, and there's decreased hospitalization rates, particularly in children ages 5 to 11. So, kids that got the vaccine versus kids that didn't, and again, we're talking greater than 6 months to 18 years, they had better outcomes. So that information to me is pretty clear, but everybody's going to have their own read of that. Yeah. So that would be my, if I have a family come to me and say, hey, what does the science say? This is exactly the answer I would give them. The science says you should probably consider it.
Now, one more thing that got thrown into the hopper this week with to vaccine or not to vaccinate is a new COVID variant that has landed in the U.S. and it's called NB.1.8.1. I don't know why I think that's important to say, but it's a new variant that apparently is more transmissible than other strains of COVID that we've had. Can you tell us anything about this?
Yeah, no, you nailed it, and that's essentially the information available about that variant, the NB.1.8.1. It spreads quickly. There's no evidence that it's more severe, and this kind of tracks with what we've seen of viruses like COVID as they kind of evolve, is that they're going to evolve to maintain survival, right? So if they can spread quickly, that's going to be advantageous to them being the virus population.
Okay, so is this something that the average person should be concerned about, talk to their doctor about, make sure that they're up to date on their vaccines about, all of the above?
Yeah, so the vaccine, in terms of vaccine effectiveness, the existing vaccines, meaning the most recent set of boosters, are expected to provide protection against this, meaning to reduce the risk of severe disease, not to totally prevent you from getting it. And so I think I wouldn't particularly be concerned about this variant as opposed to any other variant that's come out over the last year. It's just a constant reminder that, hey, this virus is evolving. Probably a good idea if you haven't had your booster and you meet criteria, i.e. talk to your doctor, maybe a good idea to get boosted because the virus is not going to stop evolving. And our immune systems can use all the help they can get.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, since things calmed down, I know that I'm behind on my COVID vaccine, something that I need to get caught up on because, if there's a new variant, summertime is here, people are in get-togethers or you know, weddings, family events, etc. Why take the chance? As far as I'm concerned, I mean, as you said, everybody can make up their own mind on what they want to do, but it just seems like the smart thing to do for me anyway. So we'll just put the information out there and you all can do what you wish with that. In the meantime, 312-981-7200 is our number. If you have a question for Dr. Silver, 312-981-7200. I had some questions about the piano man, Billy Joel. He announced that he was canceling all of his tour dates this year because of normal pressure hydrocephalus. Normal pressure hydrocephalus. I hope I'm saying that right. A condition of the brain. Can you tell us more what Billy Joel is living with right now?
Sure. You said it right. Normal pressure hydrocephalus. And that's just hydro meaning water and cephalus meaning brain. So too much water on the brain is kind of a simple way of putting it. Your brain, Dean, all of our brains, sits inside this box we think of as a skull. And it's bathed in this liquid that helps take away all the toxins that form up, kind of keeps it, forms a shock absorber of sorts. It's not a ton of fluid. It's about 5 ounces, less than the volume of liquid in a can of Coke. And that is constantly circulating through your body. And so you have inside the brain, there's the brain itself, there's the skull, there's blood vessels, and then there are these little areas, think of them as little lakes or reservoirs where that spinal fluid just kind of sits. And in some folks, particularly in older folks, this disease affects people over the age of 65 and most pronounced in people over 80. In fact, almost 6% of people over 80 are affected by this. It's a large number in that population. That fluid doesn't get recycled. It's sort of blocked from resorbing into the body. And that can lead to problems. Typically, you see issues with gait and balance. So trouble walking or trouble maintaining balance. People have trouble controlling their urine. And then cognitive difficulties, so issues with memory or even personality. So a fairly significant impact on life. Now, there is a treatment. There's really only one treatment for it in terms of the disease, and that's to put in a shunt. And we can certainly talk about that a little bit.
And does that cure the disease or just control it?
Well, it sort of depends. Half of the people with normal pressure hydrocephalus develop it primarily, meaning it sort of just develops because of whatever is happening in that individual's brain. We actually don't know fully. Up to 30% of people with Alzheimer's have it. There's a thought that maybe there's some kind of degeneration in the system that recycles that fluid, and that as you get older, the ability to recycle is diminished, but it's not 100% clear. And then there are the folks who develop it as a result of another disease process. So, for instance, they unfortunately develop a brain tumor. That tumor blocks the circulation of the fluid, and then it's a little bit more straightforward. Sometimes just taking the tumor out and then we'll help resolve the problem. So it kind of depends on what led to it. But if it's primary, meaning if it developed for unclear reasons, then the shunt is the way to go.
Well, we wish Billy Joel all the best with a recovery, being able to control all of this. Jay is on the phone line at 312-981-7200 with Dr. Jeremy Silver. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Love your show. My question is about the bird flu. I haven't heard much about it recently, but I heard that our quote-unquote wonderful administration just cut the funding for Moderna to develop the vaccine for it. And I'm worried that if this bird flu starts to get to people, that it's going to have some big ramifications if we don't have a vaccine that's ready to roll. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
What's the latest on that?
It's a great question, caller. Thank you. It's worrisome. I mean, I think the cat is not yet out of the bag in terms of bird flu. There were a couple of people that that got extremely sick from the virus, and one or two, I believe, died. Which in the scheme of things is a very, very low number, meaning that I don't think we've jumped the shark yet, so to speak, in terms of transmission from human to human. But that's definitely a risk. I was disappointed to hear that the vaccine development was ceased. One can hope that that somebody like a Bill Gates or some sort of philanthropic organization or individual might step in to help with the funding, or alternatively, the drug companies might just decide, you know, we're going to go ahead and just do this either outside of the United States in Europe or through some other mechanism. But it's very much a to be determined at this point in time. It definitely makes you uneasy when you start running math.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like something that is yet to be determined. We'll keep our eye on that. Jay, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. From the 708 area code, Dean, can you ask Dr. Silver about pregnant women getting the COVID vaccine? It's CDC guidance on this this week is also very confusing.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the confusion. I wish it weren't this way. You know, the initial guidance was that it's beneficial both to the mother and the fetus. And, you know, so I think we would still, as a healthcare entity, recommend it. But in terms of, again, it all comes down to insurance coverage, because if it's not being recommended by the government, then, you know, you're going to have to pay out of pocket. But that aside, the finances aside, it's still very much recommended for pregnant women.
Yeah, a couple of people on our text line, I'm just going to mention, you know, are texting in that, you know, why are we pushing vaccines? Why are we shoving that down people's throats? I think we said pretty clearly, do whatever you wanted to.
Yeah.
We're just putting the information
not
out there.
Not anything, Dean. Not want to be clear about that.
Yeah,
I'm not, and I have no interest to report, by the way. I don't get paid by a vaccine company to come on here and spew information, but I think, you know, it's the same reason I would tell a young mother, hey, try to breastfeed if you can. There's good evidence to suggest it's beneficial. Does that mean formula is bad? No. So, you know, well, we look at the evidence, you offer the best recommendation you can, and then move on.
Yeah, and, you know, in the case of the breastfeeding, you may make a recommendation, and the person can decide, that's not for me. So do it, you know, do what you want to do. I think we were pretty 100%. Clear about that. You know, we're just putting the information out there. You choose to ignore it, that's up to you. That's entirely up to you. So anyone who's saying that the doctor or this show or WGN is pushing anything, we're just putting the information out there. And you can either choose to, you know, ask your own doctor about it, or you can choose to ignore it. But to say that we're shoving anything down anyone's throat is just perfectly, you know, ridiculous. Do you have any information, doctor, to shove down our throats regarding this California wildfire, the Canadian wildfires smoke that we're all inhaling today? It can be a bit of a respiratory problem for some people, can't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, you know, my recommendation is just, you know, you can look up.
Still with us there, doctor? Hello? Uh-oh. Sounds like we lost our doctor. Okay. Well, gosh, I guess that's what happens to doctors who shove information down people's throats.
Seriously, though, if you talk, were you around Friday afternoon, late afternoon?
I was not. I was in. I was in California, where the, you know, the wildfires were going on. I didn't really even notice lingering smoke from that devastation.
Friday afternoon around here was, you could smell the smoke, and it was, you felt like you were really breathing in these particulates. I walked around for a bit and went back inside.
Yeah.
So if people do have some respiratory issues, yeah, avoid it.
Yeah, a good day to stay inside, I guess, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Until when is all this supposed to clear,
tomorrow clear at up? Some point. Tomorrow at some point. And it had been, you know, speculated we were going to get some severe weather Friday afternoon and some rain, which might have helped wash this out a little bit, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing how just things float around like that, and you notice it when you take a deep breath outside.
And think of how far away this is.
That's just amazing to
yeah.
me. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Thousands and thousands of acres, and that gets into the atmosphere and circulates, and as far south as, you know, Georgia or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we have to take a break, and I have a newsman who's very particular about me getting the news on time.
You have 2 minutes.
I don't know what gremlin took our doctor away from us, but thank you to Dr. Jack Silver for joining us today from Kishwaukee Hospital. A quick break, and then that persnickety newsman is coming up next.
10:30.
Canadian Wildfire.
Wasn't there a song called Wildfire out?
Michael Murphy, 1974 or 5, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of some Canadian kind of song to play. Can't think of any.
How about the Canadian National Anthem? Canada.
How about Take Off by Bob and Doug McKenzie?
That's a good Canadian.
Hey, there you go.
Canadian song.
With vocals by Geddy Lee of Rush.
Didn't Gordon Lightfoot have some Canadian something?
Well, he was from Canada, I think.
So was Anne Murray, right?
Yes.
And Brian Adams.
Anne yes. Murray.
And Corey Hart.
Yes.
And
The Weeknd.
And The Weeknd. That Soldier Field.
See, I know that stuff night. Now.
You're one hep cat.
Did you know that? Did you know that?
Feels like there's some Canadian song that Gordon Lightfoot did. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up.
We'll have to look it up.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Andy about the Bears in Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
What's the latest with all that now?
Well, it seems like I've been mentioning since the very beginning when the Bears bought the parcel of land that was formerly known as Arlington Racecourse. It seems like all hopes to build in Chicago are pretty much gone. I don't think that we're ever going to get a free and clear situation near the lakefront without some objections from the groups that are trying to save the property in front of the lake and near the lake, which
is this Friends of the Park.
I think they're one of the groups that's involved. Yeah, I mean, and you know, we hear about them a lot with, and that hey, that's what they do, and that's their right.
Right.
I just don't think that the logistics of the whole situation were really favoring Chicago from the very beginning, because the beginning of the plan for Chicago was basically kind of status quo, where the Bears would not fully outright own their own stadium.
It would still be the Park District.
It would still be the Park District. And they've had some squabbles with the Park District over the last number of years and decades. And I really truly believe that the Bears want to own their own stadium, which, you know, duh. I mean, they want to make all the money they can from revenue and not have to share it with outside organizations.
They're barely scraping by now.
Yeah, I know. As I feel really terrible for them, you know, and they're only worth about $6 billion at this point. But you know, the fact remains that this is not an organization or a family that buys spends $192 million just to spend $192 million, because they'd never get their investment back if they tried to resell that land. Because, you know, obviously it depreciated a little bit, and who knows what the zoning situation is going to be if the Bears don't build a stadium there. But it seems like they're getting all their ducks in a row with the leadership in Arlington Heights and surrounding communities. They need some help from the surrounding communities as well. But I really think that that's where it's going to be.
Looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I really thought that was good. I thought that was the case from the beginning. I think there was an attempt, maybe from a little bit more than a PR standpoint, to say we tried to stay in Chicago, but we couldn't. And I think that was the effort of a year ago. And I think they realized that nothing really was going to come from that.
Right.
And they own the land, so let's build.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. It's going to be years until anything happens, obviously.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's looking like it's definitely going to happen.
I think so.
You okay with all that, Schwani?
Boy, Andy, you really know a lot.
Isn't he comprehensive?
He's real smart.
Well, I try. You know, I try to stay up on things, because I don't want, you know, Happen OB to look down upon me when we have our shows, you know.
No.
How do Happen OB feel about that?
You know, we really haven't.
So legendary to play right on the lakefront, and
we really haven't talked about that much. But I'll say this: there are a lot of people that say, "Well, they can't be the Chicago Bears." Okay, that's nonsense. Because
The old Mayor Daley used to say,
"Yeah, it's
if
nonsense.
They move, they have to be called the Arlington Heights Bears."
The New York Jets and the New York Giants have been playing in New Jersey for the last 35 years.
Right.
The Dallas Cowboys play in Arlington. The San Francisco 49ers play in Santa Clara. So, come on, give me a break. I mean, people from Arlington Heights, when I go out of town, and I did the same thing growing up in Glenview. Oh, yeah, I'm from Chicago. Because,
right.
You know, people from around that are not from around this area don't know where Arlington Heights is or where Glenview is.
It's only good for Chicago to continue to call
exactly.
them Chicago.
They're the Chicago Bears, and they always will be.
Trani, does that all match up with your the research and reporting that you've done?
Yes, it does. It does. And I was just trying to think, that's a very good question to ask Hamp and OB about how they feel about the move, because, you know, not only Soldier Field, but Wrigley Field.
Yeah, remember? OB played most of his games at Wrigley.
Yeah, so both along the lakefront or very close to the lakefront.
It's just, you know, it's so traditional.
It is traditional,
but you know, time marches on. You gotta,
you have to adapt, because look, there are teams. You know, Jerry Jones in Dallas is making tons of money because the Big 12 championship game has come to his stadium. They've had other huge events there. It's 100-something thousand seat arena, and he's not sharing with anybody because he owns the thing. And you know, the Bears would love to have the Final Four here. The Bears would love to, you know, host a Super Bowl even if they're not in it. I mean, would have a chance to do that with a fixed roof on this stadium and concerts all year round, not just in the summertime when it's convenient. And obviously, you have to be outside for those things. So
I would imagine, though, if the Bears moved to Arlington Heights, Soldier Field would still be used for events like concerts.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the outer portion of Soldier Field is still a landmark, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
That's why they put the spaceship
inside
of the columns.
Exactly, which, you know, they probably could have solved a lot of their problems that they're having now had they had the foresight to do something along this scale back in 2002. When they designed this disaster that took 5,000 seats away from the original.
Couldn't be any uglier.
Yeah. I mean, it's an eyesore. And, I mean, fans don't complain about it. I mean, fans love it there just because it's the Bears and it's a Sunday afternoon tailgating, and that's great. And I get it. But from an economic standpoint and from just a smart business sense, I don't have an MBA or anything like that. I don't claim to be a businessman, but some equations are pretty easy, you know. 1 + 1 = 2 more often than not, and I think that it just makes more sense for them to be in a stadium that they own and that they can control year round and basically use year round. Now, Soldier Field, yeah, I think that'd be a great place for, you know, to maybe demolish what they built and build it on a smaller scale, and you know, you can host high school, college football games there if you still wanted to do that. It's still a draw.
I think it's still very, very usable.
Yeah, still a draw.
Yeah, there's also soccer matches and other things.
The Fire use it as their home stadium.
And I would think there would still be concerts there as well.
I would agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only addition that I would make is I would like a ramp from Soldier Field directly to Schwanee's apartment.
Oh, nice. So you can get in?
That's right there. It'd be a lot easier for me to crash there sometimes.
There you go.
Doing a little Mustang Sally for you. Yeah. Why don't you? Buddy Guy, truly one of the great blues men of all time. Would you not agree with me on this, Mr. Music?
Yes, I would wholeheartedly agree.
It's fantastic. I was privileged to sit down and talk with him for about a half an hour. We had a fantastic conversation about his career, about the blues, about so many things. We'll share the full conversation in a couple of weeks here on the show. But this coming Tuesday night on the WGN Evening News on the 9 o'clock, I'm doing a special story on Buddy Guy being included in the movie sensation Sinners, the new Michael B. Jordan movie it's made like $300 million or something already. It's, you know, like one of the most successful movies of the year. And the great Buddy Guy does a cameo in the movie. When he came up on the screen, I jumped up. How cool, buddy guy in a big Hollywood movie like this. And the director of the movie, Ryan Coogler, who gave us the Black Panther movies and Wakanda Forever and just so many fantastic movies, is the guy who made a decision on including Buddy Guy in this movie. And Tuesday night on the 9 o'clock news, Ryan Coogler and Buddy Guy both talked to me about their, you know, working on this movie, Sinners. So that'll be on the big number 9. It's coming Tuesday night. Sound okay to you?
That's great. I think it's fine.
I feel a lack of sincerity when you say that.
No, I do. I think it's fine.
I feel like you haven't heard one word that I've said.
I've heard everything.
You're busy listening.
You said you talked to Buddy Guy.
You said I think you're busy listening to Casey's Top 40 right now.
From 1968?
Yes. You're listening to when the Bee Gees hit number one on the charts. So that's 9 o'clock news, Tuesday night, WGN television. It's going to be fun.
And I hope we had a good in-depth conversation with Buddy Guy.
You didn't hear one word I said.
Well, I'll just have to watch the interview then.
Well, if you don't let
I'll
me
call you with a critique.
Yeah, don't let me twist your arm behind your back and make you listen. It's okay. It's all right. Wait till you do some documentary on the National Forest sometime.
National Forest?
You know, those things that you always
do. You know, it's funny trees. You should ask, because I'm actually working on a story on that right now.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Hey, you know what's going on the northwest side of Chicago? Today's the final day. Windy City Hot Dog Fest.
Ah.
How many shows can transition from Buddy Guy to the National Forests to Windy City Hot Dog Fest? Not a lot.
Not many. Weren't you in a hamburger eating contest?
I was, past 2 years.
Yeah,
the Burger Fest on Roscoe. I probably will this year, too. I haven't finalized details on that yet, but that's my 1 year to, you know, break out the elastic pants and go out.
With the big snap in the front.
Yeah, not even a snap. It's all just elastic.
tie it with a rope belt.
I've never been so full in my life judging those two contests. Because they come up with some pretty good burgers. But I've actually never gone to this Windy City Hot Dog Fest. But it's right on Milwaukee Avenue. Like Irving and Milwaukee, and they close off the streets, and a bunch of hot dog vendors from the Chicago area, you know, serve up their very best, and people can go listen to music and enjoy hot dogs, and it's going a great time. It's going on. Today's the final day. It's been going on since Friday, so you can get out there. And they have a hot dog eating contest.
Do they allow people like Joey Chestnut to participate in this?
I don't know if professional, food guys like him can be part of it. But a guy named Frank the Tank Watk won the hot dog eating contest on Saturday. He ate 9.5 hot dogs in 5 minutes.
Wow.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Yes.
Bacon-wrapped hot dogs, alligator hot dogs, deep
fried. Made of alligator meat?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Guess so. What else would it be made of?
Well, just asking.
What do you think? It's wrapped in like an alligator bun? Or?
Well, it could
be. Handbag.
Yeah, like a handbag. Yes.
Shoes? Yeah, I guess so. I assume it's alligator meat. Let's see here. Byron's Hot Dogs participating. Bust Outs. Sausage Fest Food Truck. Never heard of them. Franny's Cafe. Lee's Concessions. Tandoor Char House. That's Indian food, I think, right?
Yes.
Tandoor Char House?
Yeah.
Should be interesting. So what's going on today? You got a favorite hot dog place?
Well, I like one that's not far from where I am. Devil Dogs is on State. I miss Demon Dogs.
Under the L?
Yeah, oh, yeah. By DePaul there.
Is that on Fullerton?
Yes. Yeah, the Fullerton L stop. I miss them.
You know who owned that joint? Peter Chevarelli, the manager of the group Chicago.
Well, you went in and there were Chicago pictures wall to wall over there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Pete is still their manager for decades and decades. I am a Gene and Jude man myself.
Okay.
Love Gene and Jude's. As I've mentioned many times, you go in, first of all, you can't eat there. You have to take it out to your car or go elsewhere. It is a very, there, an unequivocal, don't even mention the K word. Don't even mention ketchup.
They'll throw you out.
When you go to Gene and Jude's. It's very extremely traditional Chicago style, but here's what I love. It's a nice steamed poppy seed bun. It's a nice dog, a skin dog. So when you bite into it, it's got a little bit of a snap to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that.
That's a good dog right there.
Yeah.
And you put all your fixings on it. And then if you order fries, they put the fries right on top of the hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
And then they wrap it all up together. So everything gets all greasy and steamy and, oh, it's heaven.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Man, does your car smell good.
for weeks.
You go out to the car and eat the hot dog. And
We can't omit Superdog.
Superdog is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Growing up in Glenview, it was the works right there on Golf Road in Washington.
Yeah.
And you could get a good char dog there as well. They have great gyros there too, by the way. That's pretty much what they're known for. But the hot dogs were awesome over there. And, you know, now living in the area around here, Byron's is really good, and so is Wrigleyville Dogs.
I like Byron's. I've always liked Byron's.
Yeah. Wrigleyville Dogs is good too.
Is that on Clark Street?
Yeah, that's the one that's just a little bit north of the ballpark.
Good place.
Mm-hmm.
What about the place, what's it called, where they insult you?
Oh, the Wiener Circle.
Wiener Circle.
Yeah. I've only gone there on special occasions when I've had people in from out of town, they want to experience it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't say anything. Just take them in and say, this is a very nice place to go.
This is a great place.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've done. So I've, friendly.
I've taken people there and not told, you know, didn't
You've
say.
You've done that?
I've taken people there. You know, they want, hey, I want a Chicago-style hot dog. Oh, let me take you someplace for a Chicago-style hot dog.
You're going to love this place.
And they take them, and they are F-bombed to death when they get there. There's people, you know, they're coming in from small towns or whatever. They're shocked. They can't believe they were treated like that. But you know, that's part of the part of the fun of going to the Wiener Circle.
What did he say to me?
Yeah. Only Dean would take us to a place like this.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
And the dogs are pretty good there too, but mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For my money, you put the fries right on top of the hot dog.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's good eating right there.
Are you a char dog fan or just a regular?
I like both.
Okay.
I like char dogs too.
I like both.
My mom got me into those.
Isn't Wiener Circle more char dog than steam dog?
Yeah, I think so.
I love that we can just mention the two words hot dogs and our phone lines explode.
Just blow up, yep.
As though we're talking about
this happens,
world economy.
This happens when we bring up ice cream.
On most stations,
candy, pizza.
Tariffs would blow up the phone lines like this. For us,
hot dogs
blow up the phone lines like
hot dog.
Where I grew up, those of our listeners who live or still are around Highland, Indiana, there was a place on Highway Avenue. It was just called the Custard Stand.
Mm.
Soft serve ice cream, custard ice cream, any type of candy you want, and they had great hot dogs in there. Just steamed buns, and you like the hot dog with the skin where it has a little snap to it, like you said.
Back up to the candy again. Like penny candy?
Yes. Penny candy, candy bars, Good and Plenty.
Did they have that candy that was like little dots of candy on the long strips of
on the paper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
The candy buttons.
Yes, they did.
Wax lips.
Yep. All of that. And you could get this giant soft serve chocolate ice cream cone for 40 cents or something like that.
Candy cigarettes.
Yeah. Anything you wanted. But those hot dogs were wonderful.
That's something you want the kids to have. Get some nice candy cigarettes. And now at 10:38, time for a little thing we do called the Week in Theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? And we have to welcome back to the Chicago area our pal Ronnie Marmo, who you know from his many appearances in Chicago as Lenny Bruce in his acclaimed one-man show, I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, which is directed by Joe Mantegna, by the way. But Ronnie has brought this show back to Chicago several times. He has done the show Bill W. and Dr. Bob a couple times here in Chicago and has now just brought this show back to Chicago as well and is here in our studios this morning. Look at you, dragging you all the way down here from the North Shore Center for Performing Arts up in Skokie into beautiful downtown Chicago on a half marathon morning on top of it.
Oh, yeah, there's a marathon.
Fortunately, it's not affecting us here. Normally, when there's a marathon, you can't even get into this building.
Oh, really? Are they running it in a different section of the city?
They are. It's over on the west side this morning. So, you know, God bless all those people who are, you know, out there and running. You know, we wish them all the best. Stay away from our
building. Impressive. I'm sore walking to the car. You know what I mean? I can't imagine running half a marathon.
I'm sore walking to the car. I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
So welcome back, man.
Well, thank you, Dean.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you. You know, I'm excited to be back. We did the show last year, 11-week run at the Biograph Theater.
Right.
And the folks from North Shore Center saw it and said, hey, why don't you bring it back? So we're doing two weekends today and then next weekend. We just did three shows over the past few days.
So. Yeah. So you'll take a few days off and then come back for next weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'll come down to the city and hang out and, you know.
Nice. Maybe run a marathon while you're
well,
here.
Well, I think we're in no danger of that happening.
At least walk to the car.
Yeah, I can walk to the car, maybe.
To the car. Just remind people what Bill W. and Dr. Bob is all about. Because it's not only incredibly entertaining and thought-provoking, but it's really like striking a chord with people.
Yeah.
Wherever this show plays.
Yeah, it's a great piece of history because it's essentially 1935. The two guys who started Alcoholics Anonymous came together in this chance meeting and, you know, obviously changed the world. And, you know, these series of events happened where they ended up getting in the same room together. And Bob said, I'll give you 15 minutes. That's all I have. And they ended up talking for 6 hours and, you know, ended up saving millions of lives. So, you know, not only is it good for 12-steppers, people really love the show, obviously, if you're affiliated in some way. But it's just a great piece of history, too. And it's pretty amazing. People come out all the time to see it. So,
what motivated you to put this together and, you know, take this to stage?
Well, I got lucky. I've been sober since I've never had a legal drink, actually. I got sober at the age of 20, so I've been really lucky. It's been a long time. Mm. So I was a wild teenager, to say the least, growing up in New Jersey. So, but I always wanted to do the play. I was cast in it about 30 years ago and couldn't do it, but always kept it. And then about 25 years ago, I produced it for the first time in L.A., and it ran a long time, about 6 months. And now we've produced it. I think this is about our 11th production. And now we're on tour with it. In fact, yesterday was very special because it was the first time it was running in two cities at the same time.
Oh, wow.
LA and Chicago.
That's
so,
a big deal.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was like a dream come true for this show.
That's a very, very big deal.
Yeah.
What do you think is striking a chord with people? I mean, people who are going through the 12 steps have a vested interest in it and, you know, an interest in learning more about where this all started. But for those who are not, what do you think is striking the chord?
Well, it's just an underdog story. It's, you know, it's inspirational. It's actually very funny. People think, oh, a show about AA, it's going to be a downer. It's actually very funny. It's hopeful. It's inspirational. Obviously, some drama. But I think, you know, I always think when you do theater, I always tell the actors, listen, they're not coming to see you. They're coming to see themselves in you. And if people can't sit in the audience and identify in some way, whether you're, you know, a 12-stepper or not, it doesn't matter. It's like we've all, like, wanted to have our day in court with someone or something, a boss, a loved one. We all, you know, we're trying to fight through something. So, you know, it's really, you know, the community, the relationships, the people. So I think people, whether you're sober or not, or Al-Anon, in fact, you see the origin story of that come alive in the show as well, which is cool. And I just think it's one of those shows that, like, people really see themselves in. And it's inspirational. It's funny. It's heartwarming. It's got all the stuff I like in a show.
Yeah, who isn't trying to overcome some obstacle, right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody does, whether it's alcohol or drugs or, you know, whatever it is.
Gambling, working, yeah, whatever.
Eating, overeating, yeah, whatever. You know, people are struggling with it and trying to find out ways to get over the hump. And, that, you know, basically that's what the story is about, right?
Yeah, I always say we're like spiritual beings who suffer from the human condition. We all have the human condition, yeah, you know. And so whatever your ism is, whatever the Jones you have, you know. And a lot of people, it's work. I mean, we're all, especially in this business, as you know, it's like you have to chase the thing. And so it's constantly, I haven't met a human yet who can't go, I identify with this show in some way, you know.
Yeah. Who did you bring along with you for this production?
I just brought myself. I know the importance of Chicago actors working locally. And so I used 5 Chicago actors and myself. I came in from L.A., same actors I used a year ago. So I said a couple of months ago, start dusting off your script. And I came in early last week and we rehearsed all week. And it was wonderful. It came back to life in a really great way. And so we're running through June 8th. You know, Bill W. and Dr. Bob on Stage is the website, or North Shore you could go to. And, you know, it was crazy. We saw people scalping tickets for like $700-$800.
What?
It was wild. We Googled it, and people were saying, I can't afford this $700-$800. We're like, what are you talking about? And so we realized that a lot of people were going on buying tickets and then reselling them.
Really?
Yeah, it was really kind of sad because a lot, you know, half the audience are theater goers and the other half, a lot of times this is their first play.
Yeah.
So they didn't know any better. So I'm making sure that I let people know, look, you could actually skip the ticket fees if you go directly to the box office. Yeah. There's no fees and it's a lot, you know, obviously there's 3 ticket prices and.
I didn't know you're like Beyonce.
Well, I, you know,
like scalping your tickets.
I'm Rihanna.
You're
I'm sharp in Sunday mornings, you know. No, it's very funny, but I couldn't believe it. People were disappointed going, I could never afford this show. I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's crazy.
Not, yeah, it
That's
was wild.
The first time that I've heard of somebody, you know, for local theatrical productions, reselling tickets like that.
My understanding is what they do is they publicize it.
Yeah.
The ticket.
Scoop up the tickets.
Somebody jumps on it. Yeah. They quickly go buy it, and then they resell it to that person.
I've heard that a million times for concerts. I mean, literally for the Beyoncés or...
No, it's weird. It's happened quite a bit.
Whoever, but I guess why not for... popular theatrical.
It was so bad last week that we threw a bunch of money at Google ads just so we would be the first up. It all happened last week. We're like, okay, we have to be people Google the show.
How interesting.
Yeah, it's really wild.
That's how all that works these days.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I take it as a compliment.
I guess it's a little bit flattering, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't want people not to see the show. Yeah. Honestly, like, it breaks my heart, especially the people who really need to and want to.
Well, let me give some websites then.
Great.
We're going to talk about this and also the Lenny Bruce Show, which is going to be coming back to the Chicago area. But if you're interested in Bill W. and Dr. Bob with Ronnie Marmo, Bill and Dr. Bob on stage.com. That's the site, right?
Yeah, Bill W. and Dr. Bob on Stage.
Yeah, that's the official site. And the North Shore Center for Performing Arts.
Yes.
I don't have the site right here in front of me, but if you know, go to their site, that's another place where you can officially buy tickets.
Yes, please go through those two sites or come to the box office.
Or there's a novel idea. Buying right at the box office. Ronnie Marmo is here. The show is today, right?
Today, 2 p.m. matinee. There are a few tickets left if anybody wanted to come in last minute.
Right. And then again, for next weekend, we'll repeat all this in just a minute and continue with Ronnie Marmo in just 1 minute. All right, we are back at 10:48. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Coming up in our next half hour, a little preview of my 9 o'clock primetime story that I've got on WGN-TV this week, where I sat down and talked with blues legend Buddy Guy and director Ryan Coogler about the new movie Sinners, Buddy Guy is featured in a fantastic cameo in this movie. We'll talk about that Tuesday night on the 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. news on WGN-TV, not on 9 a.m. like where you usually find me. So Tuesday night, but we'll have a little preview of that coming up in our next half hour. In the meantime, though, we're talking with Ronnie Marmo, who is starring in and directing Bill W. and Dr. Bob, which is at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie, 9501 Skokie Boulevard, today and then again next weekend through June the 8th. And you can get tickets at northshorecenter.org or at Bill W. and Dr. Bob on stage.com. Could you make that website a little more confusing, Ronnie?
There's a lot of letters, I realize. I know.
So, anyway, bottom line of this, be careful when you go online to purchase the tickets.
It's a good reminder. You know, yeah. I don't usually think about stuff like that, but it came up first. All these other ones were coming up first on Google, and we were like fifth.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know? That's crazy.
And people just click and go.
The ticket resellers are out there, and they're trying to make a load of money off of you buying concert tickets, theater tickets, you know, whatever.
It's a bummer because it's hard enough to get people to come back to the, you know, after COVID, things have changed. And so getting people off the couch has already been, you know, a tough.
Who needs another challenge like this?
This is what I'm saying.
Right.
This is what I'm saying.
Exactly. So I think I first met you. When was it that you first brought the Lenny Bruce show here to Chicago?
It was
5 years ago?
It was the fall of 2019.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I remember because we were running for about 6 months at the Royal George, right. And then the pandemic happened. And we went from, you know, 180 people a night to like a dozen the final weekend. And I was like, oh, my God, what's happening? So I told everybody, I'll be back in a few weeks. And, you know, a year and a half later,
several years later.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And then the Royal George closed as well, and we were the last show there, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of theaters just didn't make it through COVID.
It's so sad,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
But happily, things are back, coming back in some cases. And you are back.
Yes.
Not only with the Bill W. and Dr. Bob show, but you are bringing back I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce as well. You're going to be bringing that back to the Chicago.
Yes, I'm really excited. They just asked me to come back to Des Plaines Theater, which is a 1,000-seat house, which is beautiful. I'm doing one performance only on August 24th. Okay. It's a 2 p.m. matinee. Talk about late-night shows. People want to be home by 9 o'clock. So these matinees are like, it feels a little blasphemous to do Lenny at 2 p.m. on a Sunday.
Yes.
But
people, yeah, right. When you come from church, go directly to the Des Plaines
Theater. That's hysterical. Leave church and go. Yeah. You know, Lenny did have a great quote. He said, you know, every day people are leaving the church and finding God. He said that in his 60s, and he got in a lot of trouble for that. But it's hysterical. But anyway, we're doing August 24th, one performance. It's already on sale at LennyBruceOnStage.com.
Yeah, if you go to oshows.com.
Oh, yeah, oshows, yeah.
Oshows.com is the correct website, I know, for the Des Plaines Theater, the Arcata Theater. That's where they sell all of those Ron Onestis. Sites, but talk about this Lenny Bruce show because you know, a lot of people, you know, you think you know stand-up comedy, but if you don't know Lenny Bruce, you don't know stand-up comedy at all.
No, true. I mean, it's kind of shocking. I've met so many people who like make a living headlining and don't know Lenny, and it's kind of shocking to me because for those who don't know Lenny Bruce, he paved the way. He was the guy who came right before Carlin and Pryor and those guys, and he basically handed the mic to them, as it were. And Lenny was, you know, he fought for free speech, First Amendment. He was the last comedian to be arrested for word crimes in this country on stage.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. He was sentenced to 4 months on Rikers Island. He was, you know, he was guilty on obscenity charges. They found him guilty. And he was sentenced to 4 months for words.
For doing a comedy show.
Yep, in this country. And then he ended up dying while he was out on appeal, so he never did the time. But, you know, what a crazy, crazy thing to think about in this country. And sadly, as you know, Dean, this country is a little on fire at the moment. And so I don't know if you noticed.
I noticed that.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got some issues. And, you know, the Lenny Bruce is more relevant today than ever. People want to hear from Lenny and his voice, and that's why the show's so successful. Sadly, with the country on fire, my show gets more relevant every day.
Yeah. You know? He really paved the way. I think about George Carlin and Richard Pryor in particular, who did observational humor. I mean, they weren't doing, you know, my mother-in-law is so right. fat, kind of, you know, right, not right. those kind of jokes.
Right.
But they were doing observational things, of things that were going on around them and in the world and in the country. And Carlin, especially, with his, you know, seven famous words that you couldn't say on radio and TV that could have put him in jail, I guess, if you know, or certainly fined by the FCC.
Well, I think he was fined, but Lenny was the one. If you watch the show, my show, you'll see where that seven dirty words started. George took that directly from Lenny. I'm not saying he stole from, but in other words, he was influenced by.
That was my point of bringing both Richard Pryor and Carlin up, because both of them did start off as sort of traditional kind
Joe
of
comics.
Comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then veered off into this very Lenny Bruce-esque sort of style for which they became so famous.
You're right. I often wonder what George's career would have looked like had Lenny lived. I mean, I don't know if it would have been the same, because he absolutely just took the microphone from Lenny and just continued the fight. But by then, you know, Lenny was the last guy arrested, as I said. And then he was the first post-posthumous pardon in New York history. Mm. 2003, Pataki apologized 40 years later. And pardoned him, and it's the one and only post-posthumous pardon in New York history. So it's been a wild ride with Lenny, and you know, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel really brought him back into the forefront, and a whole new generation of people learned Lenny's name. And so the show's been very successful. I've been playing thousand-seat houses around the country. And
directed by Chicago's own Joe Mantegna.
The best.
How did he get involved in all of this?
Joe's been a mentor of mine for about 20 years now. And so when I wrote the play, I brought it to Joe. And I was like, Joe, there's no one else I want to direct this. Because I knew I needed someone that I really respected. And someone, a very talented person, obviously. But someone that I knew that would just, you know, get it done right and handle the material with care. You know, and so because a lot of times people think Lenny Bruce and they think, he's a miserable, angry comic, but he was a human being and so much more than that. But anyway, so I asked Joe to do it. He said, well, let me read it for me. Do it. He made me read it like literally in the moment.
Wow, wow.
It's like, stand up and read it for me. I was like, okay. So I read it and he goes, okay, this is the real deal. I think there's something here. And so then we sat the first 2 weeks of rehearsal. We moved some scenes around. It was his idea. He said, why don't we do this and that? He was so smart. And, you know, Joe, I know how everyone in Chicago feels about Joe. I mean, he's the greatest. But this guy, you know, a director comes to a show, you know, over the first weekend, maybe the second weekend to take notes. I've done 454 performances, and he's seen 100 of them.
Wow.
This guy, he shows
up. He's
shows,
committed.
He always shows up at the theater. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I love this play, you know. So he's really special.
So the Lenny Bruce show is coming back to Chicago. It'll be at the Desplaines Theater. August
24th.
Okay, and you can get tickets for that at oshows.com if you go to the Desplaines Theater site. But oshows.com will take you to the same place from our text line from the 630 area code. Saw Ronnie's Lenny Bruce show last year and met this great man after the show. This great man. How about that?
How about that?
Would you please ask what he's thinking for his acting career in the future? And any other projects or ideas he may have coming up?
Well, we've got a lot going on. We just shot a pilot that we're shopping now. We have a really wonderful pilot. And as far as Lenny goes, we feel like we're kind of just getting started. I know I've been doing it for 7 years, but we're really just setting up a national tour. We have a script that we're working on about Lenny, a film script. And so we're doing a lot of great things. And I've been very lucky. I just guest starred on a couple of wonderful shows. I just did FBI Most Wanted. I just guest starred on a TV show called Ghosts on CBS. So I've been very fortunate and lucky. And between Lenny Bruce and Bill W., I've been really staying busy touring both these shows. You know.
Now, you are based in L.A. That's where you live. Were you affected by the wildfires there?
Yes, I mean, not as extreme as others. You know, we had soot all over the cars. Yes,
everybody who lives there was affected in some way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a family. One of my pals moved into our house with his two kids and his wife and his dog.
Oh, wow.
They were from Pasadena, actually. Thankfully, their house was okay. But it was a wild time. It was very scary. You know, we had to fly to New York to do some business right in the middle of the fires. So I ended up packing up the three or four little boxes of things that I couldn't live without, and I put them on my kitchen table, and I called my ex, my dear friend Wendy, and I was like, listen, if anything happens and it gets a little too close, these are the boxes. Would you be kind enough to pick them up? But it's scary in 24 hours running through your house trying to make those decisions.
Yeah, right.
I need my dad's ashes, my Uncle Ronnie.
Yeah, you know,
you're running around going, what's important?
Yeah, it's a reality check, isn't it?
Oh man, it was really scary and so heartbreaking. And I know dozens of people who lost everything. Dozens.
Ronnie Marmo is back in town. He's doing Bill W and Dr. Bob today, and then again next weekend through June 8th at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts. You can get tickets at BillWandDrBobOnStage.com. or at NorthShoreCenter.org. And his Lenny Bruce show, I'm not a comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, out at the Des Plaines Theater, AugustOShows.com. Thanks for coming all the way downtown today.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate
always
the
good
support.
To see you, pal.
Yeah, you too, pal.
Ronnie Marmo. We'll check news. The Grand Prix race.
In Detroit today.
Grand Prix.
Detroit.
The Grand Prix.
Grand Prix.
Yes.
Oui, oui.
When is our big race here in downtown Chicago?
Oh, that's the 4th of July weekend.
July 4th.
Yeah.
Weekend.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I already got a card in the mail announcing closures. And by the way, here it is, June 1st. They're going to start to be closing things down pretty soon in Grant Park there.
And Lollapalooza.
Later, the big hoot nanny.
Yeah, the big outdoor hoot nanny. Yep. Yeah, pretty much everything's going to be closed all summer. Between
so just stay in.
Yeah, stay in your houses this summer. Stay in your houses. And didn't they change the configuration on the Kennedy this morning?
Yes.
Something that now you can go to O'Hare.
Outbound lanes can be reached, can go to O'Hare, yeah.
From the local
from the Burn interchange now.
Because it was before.
No, or rather from Ohio.
From the express lanes.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the express lanes before only took you to the Edens.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So now you can also go to O'Hare?
Correct. I think it's fine.
Oh, nightmare. I was in both in New York and Los Angeles this past week doing interviews.
Were you doing any driving?
I'm a globetrotter that way. I don't know if you know that. I'm a globetrotter. And
boy, you think you're
just getting on the highways now. There's like construction, literally. You know, we've always joked there are two seasons in Chicago:
winter and road construction.
Yeah, but literally, there is road construction everywhere going on right now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Things that may have been delayed.
Ugh.
One problem being, you know, delays during COVID, and now they've got funding for what they need to do. There's a big bridge project going on in the north end of Lincoln Park.
Mm.
If you get off at Montrose and then go into the park itself.
Montrose
off of DuSable Lakeshore Drive. And then go into the park, drive by Montrose Harbor. Boy, do you get a beautiful view of the lake and the skyline there.
Yeah.
And then keep following that road as it curves around. They're working on three bridges that are, you know, in that two-lane road there in Lincoln Park.
And
in the park itself.
Huh.
And let me tell you, it's a big project. One half of the bridge on each of these three bridges that I'm thinking of is out completely. So,
well, the bridge, you know, they're doing bridge work over the Kennedy at Addison.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's closed. And, so, you know, the half of the inbound lanes are closed. And I can't even keep track of it anymore. It's everywhere right now.
That's the truth.
It's on Clark Street. It's on, you name it, there's construction going on.
Yep. And here we are.
And that's
welcome
why,
to summer.
If you are looking for me anytime this summer, I will be in my front hall closet in the fetal position, trying to get you in the race car mood for what's coming up at 11:30 today. Not drag racing action, but how cool would that be to be broadcasting drag racing? But we've got, what, the Detroit Grand Prix?
Detroit Grand Prix.
Coming up at 11:30 this morning. So get ready for that. And by the way, anytime I can play a song on the show, you know, to set the mood for something, and it gets Schwanee dancing the way he was just dancing a second ago.
Yeah. I was going to request you turn that off, please.
What move would you call that exactly?
Well, it was the twist.
It was the shock.
It was Elaine on Seinfeld.
Jack, I'm sure you know all about that dance.
Yeah. Hey, you don't see John Landecker dancing like that, I'll bet, on his show. Producer Jack Heinrich is back with us this morning. Producer and now famous radio star, sports radio star.
I don't know about that.
I hear him all the time doing sports on WGN now. From his humble beginnings here on our little Sunday morning show.
Prep for greatness.
Yeah, and he apparently they couldn't get anyone else to do the show today. So, Jack.
They all ran away.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack, you came, scared them all off.
Jack came back for a week to help.
This was not my fault.
Fill in. So nostalgic looking through the glass and seeing a producer whose eyes have rolled into the back of his head, wondering what the hell we're talking about on the show. It's all nice.
But I'll always remember how he looked at my 45 RPM records and didn't quite know what they were.
Well, I think most of
and
us.
I said, are these the mini ones?
No, the mini ones, yeah.
The mini ones.
They were, actually.
Yeah. I love that you brought your 45 RPM records down to the station.
I've got plenty more where those came from.
So Jack could see them.
I've got plenty more where those came from.
You are very educational.
You want me to bring in some 78s, too?
Caring about our younger generations.
Well, I saw my first week off, he brought his Walkman in. I was a little disappointed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
On Facebook,
yeah, I saw it on Andy's post. It's like, oh.
That got a lot of reaction.
And then he encouraged us to also bring in stuff.
Yeah, for show and tell.
For, like, show and tell, yeah.
I'm going to have to go through some things at home now. So that's going to be a new part of the show.
Yeah, so you can see how the show is spiraling out of control now that you've left us, Jack.
Yep. I tried to keep it on the tracks.
Took the guardrails off.
Although, if Landecker starts doing a show and tell segment, I'm going to be mad.
I might have to pitch that to him tomorrow.
I'd like to see his record collection.
Stealing our segments.
With a man whose middle name is Records.
Yeah. Oh,
I would like to see that record collection.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, do you know that today is CNN's anniversary?
Really?
Yeah. They debuted on this day in 1980.
Hmm.
45 years ago.
That's crazy. 45 years ago.
Wow.
Founded by Mr. Ted Turner. Yeah,
Ted Turner.
Yeah. As a strictly 24-hour cable news channel. Completely different than the way it is today. Do you remember early CNN?
I do.
It was like local newscasting on a national basis. My first memory, I was trying to think of some of the people who were on CNN in the very beginning. And among their very first reporters, Chicago's own Bernard Shaw.
Yeah, that's who I remember, too.
Who I think famously sort of put them on the map.
During the first Gulf War.
During the first Gulf War.
Remember 1991.
Standing outside his hotel room, like on a balcony or something, and you were watching missiles flying into, was it Baghdad?
They were going toward Baghdad.
Toward Baghdad.
Yeah.
Toward Baghdad, yeah. But, it's a... say what you want. You know, some people love CNN now, some don't. But it was very interesting, you know, when they first went on the air. And that was 45 years ago today.
They also did a lot more sports back then.
Yeah,
they had a couple of sports shows with Fred Hickman and Vince Cellini.
I like that name, yeah. Vince Cellini.
Yeah, they had a bunch of, because they were still an offshoot of TBS, which was also owned by Ted Turner, mm-hmm. Turner Broadcasting. And they did a lot of sports shows.
Hmm.
They got away from that, though.
I was on CNN once.
Really?
It was when John Lennon got killed.
Oh, wow.
And they were, you know, looking for reactions from DJs, I guess, people in on radio stations. And the local CNN affiliate, I guess, or, you know, whatever, their office called us. I was over at WCFL at the time. And they called us because we were doing 24-hour, you know, when the news came out that John Lennon was killed, you know, we were just doing 24-hour Beatle music and talking about John Lennon. And, you know, we switched over to just talking about that. And they sent somebody over from CNN and interviewed me. And I was on CNN.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Were you doing your evening shift there when I... that you were doing when I first was introduced to you?
This was in the beginnings of when WCFL was trying to come back as a pop music station.
Sure.
And Fred Winston was supposed to take over the morning show there, but he hadn't started yet. So I was doing the morning show.
Oh, you were doing mornings, yeah.
Until Fred was able to start. So I was doing the morning show then. And they called me and said, CNN's coming over, blah, blah, blah. I looked like a slob because, you know, somebody called me late the night before. Remember when John Lennon was killed, they announced Howard Cosell announced
Monday Night Football.
It was in the evening, yeah.
In the evening. So yeah. Somebody called me and said, you better get down to work right away because John Lennon was just killed. So, you know, probably just hopped in the car and went down there looking as sloppy as possible. And then they said, CNN's coming over. I ran down the street and bought a suit. I bought a suit and, you know, shirt and tie and everything to put on so I would look presentable.
I'm trying to remember, where would you do that? Or were you at home before you?
What do you mean?
Well, where did you buy the suit?
I don't know, someplace downtown.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of where it would have been, though, at that time.
Maybe Carol's Red Hanger
Shop. Red Hanger Shop on South State, yeah.
I don't know. Smokey Joe's?
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember where, but I remember that I had a... I did not look presentable to be on television. So I had to get all dressed up. And now that I'm thinking about this, if they debuted... June 1st,
of 1980,
John Lennon was killed in December.
Yeah. Right.
So I was on very early CNN.
Yeah, super early.
Yeah.
They're just getting started.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, the vivid things I remember, obviously, 9/11 and the beginnings of the second conflict in the in that region with Saddam Hussein.
Right.
With the shock and awe.
Shock and awe, right.
They were all over that.
Crazy CNN. But it changed the way we watch the news,
mm-hmm.
you know, forever, everywhere, for everyone. You know, whether you watch MSNBC now or Fox or CNN or local, you know, the ABC, NBC, CBS, the national news, or local news or whatever, that changed everything. The CNN... coming on and being a national news channel changed forever the way that we watch television news. 11:20 is the time. A little preview of my story that I've got coming up Tuesday night on WGN-TV, talking with Buddy Guy and the director of the movie The Sinners, is coming up next. 11:25 on our... mini show today. Got Detroit Grand Prix action coming up at 11:30. But I just wanted to squeeze in one more reminder of a special story that we've got coming up on the 9 p.m. news on WGN-TV this coming Tuesday night. Many of you have seen the movie Sinners, directed by Ryan Coogler, starring Michael B. Jordan. In that movie, there is a very special Chicago cameo at the end of the movie that features blues legend Buddy Guy. After I saw the movie and was blown away by the movie, by the way, it's fantastic, I contacted Buddy Guy's office and I said, can we come over and talk to you? We'd like to do something about how you got involved in doing this motion picture. And Buddy and his folks were super nice and invited us over to his blues club, Buddy Guy's Legends. And we went over and had a nice chat with him, part of which you will see this coming Tuesday night. But also, you know, what's also very interesting in the story is how Buddy was chosen by the director of the movie, Ryan Coogler, to be in the movie in the first place. And for that, I went to New York a few weeks ago and sat down not only with Michael B. Jordan and the cast of the movie, but also director Ryan Coogler about his making this choice to include Buddy Guy in Sinners.
You've picked one of the greatest blues men in the world,
yeah,
Buddy Guy, to play this.
Yeah, so this concept started with my relationship with my uncle, who passed away in 2015, my uncle James Edmondson. He did not go to movies. He did not go out. Like, you know, the only time he would go to the movies was if I made it, you know. But what he did do was whenever Buddy Guy came to town, he made sure to go. He made sure to go see him, and he would dress up and go. And when he got too old to drive himself, you know, my cousin Wendy, his daughter, would dress up and take him. My mom would dress up and take him. So I never saw Buddy Guy play live, but I knew my uncle saw him, man, probably 50 times. You know that. You know, so when I wrote this script, I was like, man, it would be really cool. You know, and I think about my uncle like he's still here with me. But I'm like, my uncle would get a kick out of Buddy Guy being in one of my movies. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you know what's crazy about Buddy is like this is Miles' first movie. It's Buddy's second movie. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah, there you go. It's Ryan Coogler, the director of the movie Sinners, and Wakanda and Black Panther, and so many other great movies. He's a really great director, and working with Michael B. Jordan in most of them. Talking about the inclusion of Buddy Guy in this movie. So what it was like for Ryan, but also what was it like for Buddy, the blues legend himself, to be in a movie? As you heard, only his second motion picture appearance. That's what we'll cover Tuesday night on the 9 p.m. news on WGN television. So if you're a blues fan, if you're a Buddy Guy fan, if you're a fan of this particular movie, Sinners, which is doing great at the box office, has been one of the biggest selling movies of the year so far, this is going to be the story for you. So keep an eye for all of that. Also, with A-list interviews that I've got coming up this week, we're going to be talking with Benicio del Toro and Michael Cera and Kate Winslet's daughter. Kate Winslet's daughter, they are the stars of this new Wes Anderson movie that comes out next Friday that's called The Phoenician Scheme. If you're a Wes Anderson fan, you're going to love this movie. I love it because I am a Wes Anderson fan, the director. But Benicio del Toro talks about being in the movie, Michael Cera, and Kate Winslet's daughter, very interestingly, following in her mom's footsteps. That's coming up on WGN-TV Morning News this coming week.